All right, good morning. Thanks very much. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN, a special remote edition. We are at Gabe's place in beautiful Glenwood. The traffic cops are outside. I can see them outside the window. The restaurant is full, and Bill and Wendy coming up about an hour from now. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Gabe's place in Glenview, presented by Allstate. Chicago's good hands. Well, let's start with John Najarian. He is on a phone line and has his eyes on Wall Street. John, I'm going to save you a big old, I don't know, the salads they serve here come in, I think they come in like 5-pound buckets.
Well, it sounds like there's not much inflation there then.
Did I say Glenview? I'm sorry, Glenwood. No, it's I don't know if it's still a diet dish if it comes in a 5-pound bucket, but why not?
As long as it's mainly lettuce and not too much dressing, I think you're doing pretty well, Steve.
I can't believe that my first words mispronounced the name of the town. We're in Glenwood, which is a great – I've never been here before. Beautiful suburb, south, sort of southeast of the city, straight south, and not too far from where I grew up. So there's a great crowd in here. And I know they were all following Janet Yellen, as the way all of us were, Janet Yellen, before the Senate Banking Committee today. I don't know. Did she say anything that was any surprise?
No, she didn't give us any surprises. She did a great job. That's not a surprise, I guess, because she's very practiced at this. She does a wonderful job herding cats with all of those different members and constituencies and things from different parts of the U.S. on that Federal Open Markets Committee. But she basically just said things like that you can't know what the fiscal policies of the administration are going to do. She can't anticipate because she doesn't know what's going to get passed. To me, Stephen, that buys you time before you get substantial rate increases. But she did also say that the environment right now, it'd be better, or rather it would be not prudent to wait too long if indeed you are seeing a pickup in inflation, and producer prices, consumer prices are moving up a little. They make more of a jump, and or if wages make a big jump, I think she'd be ready to move in March.
It looked as if, and you tell me, but the Dow was sort of teetering earlier in the day and is up 63 points now. Is that in reaction to what she had to say or in reaction to something else?
I think it was just that nervousness about the statements that indicated, as people would call it, hawkish tone, meaning that she's more likely to move rates higher. And once that had passed, once her testimony was over, the markets went right back to work. People put capital into stocks, and there's a number of them, including Apple, that are hitting all-time highs just after she stepped off.
The Dow is at 20,473. We were talking toward the end of the year about whether or not it would get to 20,000. You said it would. Boy, it did, and it just keeps going. There must be a point to where people start to pull back or get a little concerned about how fast things are going up.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why it's a good thing in my mind anyway, Stephen. I would love to see the tax cuts happen sooner, but I'm a realist, and I know that big bills like that, a tax bill, or the repeal or repair of Obamacare aren't going to happen overnight. I think these are second half stories of 2017. Right. And the implementation after the lengthy negotiations could actually extend into 2018. We'll have to see. But I think it's bullish that they are talking about repatriation and those tax cuts for regular Joes and Janes, as well as those repatriation of funds for the really big companies and things. I think that's huge for the United States. But again, Ms. Yellen said, I can't really anticipate when that's going to happen, and thus I can't try to get ahead of it by moving rates up too quickly. But she said, if we do see inflation, I can't wait too long because rates are relatively low.
You know, it's interesting you say that about it being sort of in the back half of this year, maybe into next year, because I was driving down here thinking of what we were going to talk about. And one of them was that, you know, we haven't heard anything about taxes or the infrastructure plan. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. It's only been 3 weeks, you know, and this White House has come out with such a fire hose of issues and movements and things that we expect everything to happen right away. That's just not the way these things are going to work out.
No. Again, executive orders, they can happen overnight. But working big policy decisions through committees, just as I referenced earlier about Ms. Yellen herding cats, you can only imagine when you've got 435 people in the House and or 50 senators, how long it takes to get a consensus, because they're not going to bring it to a vote until they know they have the votes. So that alone takes weeks, if not months, to get people on the same page, even if they're part of the same party.
All right. What are you looking at today? I'm interested in your reaction to the Aetna Humana announcement earlier.
Well, I actually saw a different healthcare stock, Cerner Corporation, that's C-E-R-N, and we were buying that for clients today. It's basically a supplier of healthcare information technology. So they don't do the actual healthcare, but they do the information technology all over the world for healthcare companies. And that's one that we were trading. We didn't really do a lot of trading, Stephen, in Aetna or Cigna or Humana. Those are three that, of course, have been back and forth with various takeovers or mergers, potentially. But nonetheless, I think there's plenty in that space that are going to do very well under a repeal and repair of Obamacare.
I see that Apple has hit another intraday high, a record high today, as they keep going. You know, every time someone starts to say that Apple might have its better days behind it, they prove them wrong. I mean, I have a new iPhone, and I have trouble with my new iPhone. I'm hearing a lot of people who have complaints one way or another, but it seems as if they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, and services are up to 25%. And you look at all the different levers they can pull with the iTunes store, where they're taking a toll for somebody else's intellectual property. In other words, right. Music and movies and things like that.
Wish we thought of that.
Store. Yeah. All of those things are just exploding. The more of these phones they put out there, you know, approaching a billion of these handsets just for Apple, the more people are going to be buying things through that iTunes and App Store and Mac Store and all the rest. So it's a very virtuous circle for Apple. I don't think their best days are behind them.
And I want to ask you as well about this partnership between Mattel and Alibaba. Is Barbie moving to Beijing?
Well, you know, the stock, Mattel and Hasbro, have been just surging. And I think Mr. Ma, the guy that runs Alibaba, is a smart guy. Now, Hasbro is the one that's at record highs, whereas Mattel struggling a little bit more, and that's why he was able to do that deal with them rather than a deal with Hasbro, which is hitting on all cylinders. Nonetheless, the Disney link in here with Mattel, I think, is very strong. Fisher-Price brands and things like that, you know, all parents know about Fisher-Price, Thomas & Friends, and all these sorts of things.
This allow them to do, John? Does this open up China to them in a way that wasn't open before? Or what does Mattel get out of it there?
Certainly, the potential is there to do exactly as you described, to open up China through that partnership that Jack Ma and Alibaba have now with them. So I would think that global strategic partnership that he called it is indeed just that it opens up that consumer base of 1.4 billion people in China, that they could really leverage something that they love already, which are Western brands. And certainly Mattel is a Western brand that I think the Chinese would love to have available through Alibaba or other sites.
That's the great John Najarian. You can see him on CNBC. Follow him on Twitter as well, at John Najarian. Great to talk to you, friend. We'll do it again next week. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Here we are in Gabe's place in beautiful Glenwood, Illinois, and Glenwood in the South Suburbs. And I thought it'd be a good chance to sort of catch up on what's going on in the South Suburbs economically. Heather Hayes is with us. She's the Executive Director of the Southland Chamber of Commerce. Heather, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You know, here I am. I grew up in Manteno, not too far away. And yet this is my first time ever in Glenwood. And I suppose that's the sort of thing that gets frustrating to people like you. It's like, hey, there's great areas down here that people might be missing.
Yeah, there are a lot of great areas. You got Glenwood, of course, Tinley Park. You've got the whole Halsted area right through
right,
here.
Right.
Hazelcrest.
And, you know, there's the Southland Chamber of Commerce, and I drive down 57 and see the billboards for Welcome to the Southland and all of that. What is it? What is the Southland, and why is it that you're set apart?
Well, we are the Chicago Southland Chamber of Commerce. We're actually a regional chamber of commerce, and we cover 5 counties in a two-state area.
No kidding, 5 counties.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We cover the South Cook area, Will County, and Kankakee County, and Porter and Lake County in Indiana.
And is there value then in creating sort of a cohesive unit within a greater region? I mean, is that part of what you're about?
Yes, I believe so. You do have your local chambers, and because we're a regional chamber, we have a little bit more access to the legislators. I think that it makes us apart from your local chambers, but it's always great to have cohesiveness between all of us.
Are the issues that are facing business owners in Will County or Kankakee or Southern Cook County the same as issues that are facing business owners in Lake County and McHenry County and Northern Cook County, or is it a different situation, different environment?
No, everything that happens here is the same all around, especially even in the state of Illinois. Right now, your wage issues that are being talked about in Cook County, it really affects the Southland.
Right.
And that's something that we'll be discussing with our Government Affairs Committee this year.
What do you hear from your members that is their greatest concern? I know there was you guys have, Tuesday talks, and there was something today about business in the Trump administration.
Yeah, Tuesday topics, we have that
Tuesday
every month.
Topics, yeah.
today,
I knew it was a T, Heather. I wasn't too far off.
That is held by chamber members. And it just talks about issues or subjects that are for small businesses. This week it was regarding the Trump administration and some of the changes. It was sponsored by Holland & Knight, Ken Gennaro.
Uh-huh.
And he does our Human Resource Employment and Labor Series also. But Topic Tuesdays is really what the name of it is.
And the members can go there and get some information and sort of, I mean, I would imagine a lot of it is just about forming, you know, here we are in Gabe's,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
There's a real community here. I mean, you can feel it. And yeah. I would imagine that's the sort of thing that the Southland likes to do as well, is to create a community among their members.
We do. And because we cover the 5 counties, it is a community in itself. But we do want to provide information and resources for the community. Whether you're a small business, such as Gabe's, or if you're a large business, like we have CN Railway, Ford, Bimba. We have the large manufacturers, too, that are in our membership.
Bimba. Yeah. Okay, so Bimba is in what? Moni, right?
Moni, yes.
I spent my life driving by Bimba, and I don't know what that place is yet. What is Bimba?
I don't think you're asking the right person.
Oh, okay. So you talk about what to do in the Trump administration, but I mean we're dealing with Rauner and Madigan and all of that, which is probably more immediate, closer to home, and has a greater impact on mm-hmm. your members, right? How do you sort out the mess in Springfield?
Well, we do have the Government Affairs Committee, and actually we just met again this morning. We are looking at the 5 issues that are the main concern for not just the Southland, but also the same issues that are going on with the state of Illinois. We will be doing some trips down to Springfield. We also have here locally meet and greet legislative receptions mm-hmm. and chamber forums, which will bring in some speakers on the federal level, state, and even local.
All right, so people are listening in Lake County, McHenry County, mm-hmm. all of that. What do you want to hear? What do you want them to hear from you about the Southland? What do they not know that they should?
We're here for you. The chamber is here for you. We're here as your voice. If you have a concern, please come to us. We want to share that with everyone. You're not the only one who has those issues.
Heather Hayes, the Executive Director of the Southland Chamber of Commerce, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
You bet. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, Kim Gordon, thanks very much. It's Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Gabe's Place. We are in Glenwood, presented by Allstate agent Kelly Davenport, and we thank her for that. All right, we're joined on the phone line now by Suzanne Muchin, who is the co-host of the Big Payoff podcast that you can listen to on iTunes or at WGNplus.com. Suzanne, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, so I don't know, where do we start? Do we start at the White House, at the Grammys? Let's start at the White House. I want to talk about the Grammys as well with you. But Justin Trudeau was in town and had a meeting, it was yesterday, with President Trump, and they had a roundtable to discuss women in the workplace issues. And this is what I would imagine is a real plus for you and for all of us, that put together by Ivanka Trump. She'd said this is going to be one of her issues, and maybe this is a little influence we're seeing there. What did you make of all of that?
Well, I thought the most interesting moment of the meeting, Steve, came when each of the presidents made their introduction. And you know, President Trump does his somewhat awkward, you know, somewhat scripted introduction of why he thinks this is important, stumbles over a couple things, but hits a couple of good notes that probably were given to him by, you know, handlers and others about the importance of women entrepreneurs and how we need to do more to ensure that they can work and raise their children. And it was all a little awkward. And then Justin Trudeau, who can we also just say is quite
no,
fabulous.
You can't say that.
I can.
This is a gender.
I'm just saying in general, Steve. Right at his looks.
It's a gender neutral conversation.
Okay, let's be gender neutral and just say he's a truly fabulous leader. He's making his introductions and he says, I'm really excited to be sitting around a table with a bunch of phenomenal CEOs who happen to be women.
Yeah, he knows how to say, right? Half of his cabinet is women.
Right.
And why is that?
As he said in his famous quote, because at the time he said, because it's 2015. And it's just reflective of this very unique worldview that's now being, you know, shown in our faces like a bright spotlight, which is that the way that he views the world is, well, of course we have women leaders. Of course we have women CEOs. The fact that we need to do more for them is really on us, not on them.
You can't read anything into a picture because obviously it's a flash. It's a fraction of a moment.
But you can.
No, but you don't know what picture I'm talking about. So there's a picture of him taking his seat in the in the cabinet room. You know what I'm talking about? And all the women are looking at him.
Yeah.
You know, all the women have these like starry-eyed looks as they look at him.
Totally. Yes, I don't know that they were looking quite that way at President Trump, but yes, they were looking that way. There were a couple of other great moments. I saw that one. I also thought you were going to talk about what's now become like a Facebook meme.
No, okay, let's go back. Okay, I know, the handshake.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But wait, so if it was a really attractive female head of state,
yes,
and men were sort of looking at her agog, would that be okay?
Yes.
It would be okay.
Well, I just think it happens. Let's just imagine in the time, you know, even though she wasn't a elected official, when, you know, Princess Diana, when Lady Diana was in a room and would walk in, people would, you know, fall over, right?
Right.
I mean, I think that's a natural reaction. I also do think that with Trudeau, it's not just his looks. It's also the fact that he's very progressive, very articulate, charismatic. He's kind of got the whole package.
Yeah, he's a cutie. I'm glad you saw the picture and had the same reaction as I did.
It's awesome.
Okay, let's go to the handshake now. Again, I don't know what to make of this, but it's big on social media, and I hadn't realized, but if you look at the way Donald Trump often shakes people's hands, you know, he gives a regular traditional shake, and then he pulls the hand toward his body. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what that quite is, but apparently there was a big face-off when Justin Trudeau met him at the White House yesterday.
So here's what I make of it. I honestly think that his people, that Justin Trudeau's people, had watched the handshake moment, and he had made the choice. Justin Trudeau made the choice to kind of outwit Trump in that moment. He went first. He approach Trump, kind of grabbed him first, which, you know, lots of people will say the handshake is very much about establishing your power in that moment with the other person. And Trudeau kind of outmaneuvered him. And I don't think it was spontaneous. I think it was intentional.
Well, what the move he made was he put his left hand on the president's shoulder to sort
right.
of stabilize him, and then grabbed
yes.
his, and then shook with the right hand. Not since
yes.
the days of Reagan and Gorbachev on the steps in Reykjavik have we seen
exactly.
such a monumental handshake between leaders of state.
Monumental. It was very much on Facebook yesterday in a great moment.
So I don't know how much I put into it, but it's kind of fun to watch. Okay, let's go to the Grammys, because
yeah.
as you know, I live and die with the Beyoncés.
You really do. You're so, I think you've got her poster, all her albums. It's just, that's your world.
I was absolutely aghast when she did not win Record of the Year, as I think most people were. Actually, I had no idea, but I guess it was quite a surprise. She's been nominated 8 times for Record of the Year
yeah.
and has never won it, or has won it only twice, or
has won it twice. I think the big issue this year was Lemonade. Was that, you know, as I know you were waiting on, you know, as we all were, for her next album to drop.
Right.
This unbelievable work of art came out all at once, overnight. Nobody knew it, and it was this huge sensation. And I think part of it is a lot of, you know, it was hard to not to assume that she would win, but she didn't.
Right, and Estelle came away with all the big prizes.
So Adele, who looks, she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
She has a lot of talent, and that's undeniable.
The point, though, is that Adele's music was wonderful. Beyonce's music had a little bit more of an edge and a little bit more of a message, a social message. And so that
Correct.
Should have been made more relevant, and it was ignored by the Grammys. And there are people saying, wait a minute, this shows racism at the Grammys. I'd never heard of that there was this issue there.
It's interesting. I thought it was a quick leap. And look, let's be clear that it wasn't just made by the audience. Adele herself, when she was accepting the award, said, I'm kind of shocked.
Right.
You know, Beyonce's idol.
Now, did
right?
she stop? Did she stop and give her speech over again, or she went right through that? Right.
Yeah. No, she kind of did a redo, and she just was really, I think, overwhelmed in the moment, as many people were, and wanted to acknowledge it. And, you know, her comment backstage, which I won't use the, you know, full form on radio, but she was basically saying, what the blank do you have to do to win Album of the Year, if not that? If not what Beyonce did with Lemonade. The question you're raising, though, Steve, which is interesting, is, you know, lots of people leapt to racial bias, which, to your point, at the Grammys has never
I don't get,
really,
right?
right? Although, when you look at the statistics, it does say that the last woman of color to win Album of the Year was Lauryn Hill in 1999. It's a long way. It's a long, with all the women of color who are performing,
right.
that's a pretty long, you know, way
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, and I'm not equipped to defend, I don't want to defend the Grammys, but I'd like to see who the others were and how often they were, you know, bands of color or white men or white women, you know, how all of that breaks
yeah.
down. I don't know.
Right, right.
Okay, real quick, though, let's shoot hoops. The Connecticut women's basketball team won their 100th game right in a row on Monday night.
It's great. You know, look, I think women's sports doesn't always get, you know, well, we know it doesn't get the same attention as men, other than perhaps women's soccer, where the USA national team has become sort of a celebrity. But this UConn women's team is unbelievable.
Unbeatable
and unbelievable. And really, it's, you know, to watch them is, I think, just as exciting as watching the guys, if not more so. They're super talented, really charismatic. And I mean, come on, they've won 100 games in a row. They're 100th consecutive victory.
Quite an accomplishment. Congratulations to them. I'm still going to go to the Northwestern Maryland game instead. All right, Steve Alexander, thanks very much. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We're at Gabe's Place in Glenwood, and everyone with food in their belly seems to be happy. That is probably because of Maria Lukaki, who joins us now, the owner of Gabe's Place, along with her husband, who will not speak to us today. Maria, welcome. I'm welcoming you to the Business Lunch, but you've made us feel very welcome, so thank you for that.
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
You know, when I was telling people that I was coming here, I wasn't aware of the restaurant, but people said I was coming to Glen, and everybody knows Gabe's Place, and I would imagine that's must give you a great sense of accomplishment, but it's really important, too, when you're running a business in a small town like Glenwood, right? Tell me about that.
It is. So March 5th is going to be 25 years that we're in operation. My father opened the business in 92.
I was going to say, you look like you're about 32. So
Thank you. That's awesome. And we opened in 92, and we were just upstairs, the smaller section of the restaurant. In 99, we took over the whole building, and we moved, and we expanded, and we doubled in size.
Wow. And so, you know, when it comes to restaurants, they talk about how hard they are to make them work and to succeed, and you have to get through 5 years or 10 years. And when did you, as a family, your dad, and when did you know that you had something that was going to last here?
After about the first 6 to 8 years,
yeah,
the support from the community and the help from the village and just the customers, the regular customers that would come in from the beginning, that came in and introduced themselves, the people that lived across the street that welcomed us to the community.
Right.
And they still tell me to this day, last year on our anniversary, I had a woman come in and said, "Happy anniversary."
Is
she
that
remembers
right?
being here 20 at that point 24 years ago on our anniversary. It was March 5th.
So it's the community. It's not the 5 gallon bucket salads that you sell?
Correct. But those help. Those help.
Those are the biggest
salads.
We have
the best salads around.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So tell me, you said about the help from the village. As a small business owner, talk to me about the relationship between government and business and why that's important and how they can help you and you can help them.
It's important just because with where we're located and we're so close to the railroad tracks and with parking, and when we first came, people were parking on the street. We had nowhere to, no space.
Right.
And they really helped us make accommodations to allow for people to park and the people to come in, and made it easier for us to do business.
A lot of people who want to start a business or who are running a business, they're like, well, how do you get what Gabe's Place has? I mean, how do you get that sense of community? And I'm wondering if that's the sort of thing that can be created, or, you know, if you can set out to create it, or if it's something that organically just happens, the bond between a business and the community.
It organically for us happened. And I think a lot because the charisma of my father,
yeah,
with the customers, and it was word of mouth. We were lucky with the community. We supported the community and the baseball teams and, you know, any charity that was coming along with churches. And really, he was here all the time.
Right.
All the time. They were used to seeing his face.
Was it intimidating for you to take over for your dad?
It was. I've always worked here on the weekends, and I started about 8 years ago. I had my own consulting business on the side, and I was spending 50% of the time here, 50% working or consulting, traveling. And so I'd been here a lot, but then it was big shoes to fill.
Right.
And you know, unfortunately, he passed suddenly, and so you know, he said, "You can do it. You know, you can do it." And it's been rewarding.
But he watched you for a few years before he passed.
He did.
Must have given him pride, and you know, a great sense of pride as well, that you could pull it off, that you kept it going.
Yeah, there's always that fear, and you want to make him proud no matter what.
All right, so here we are. We're in the restaurant. When does the workday start for you?
So our workday starts at 6 a.m., mm-hmm. 6 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And when
daily.
Do you go home?
3:30, 4 o'clock.
Right.
We're on our way home.
I'm just wondering, in your work day, when is it that you feel the greatest sense of, I don't know if pride is the right word, or satisfaction, or maybe just happiness, when you look around and it's like, this is why I'm doing it. What is that moment for you?
Every night when I walk out the door and my dad picture that's hanging in the foyer,
yeah,
and he's got this little smile and grin, and if I've had a good day or a bad day, I walk out and I see that smile, and that's what it's about.
That's a great story, and
that's
that brings
about.
You back, and you have to do it all over so you can say goodbye to him the next day.
Exactly.
What's the hardest part?
The hardest part is getting up in the morning.
Yeah. but not going to bed at night.
Yeah, no.
Maria Lukaki is the woman who owns Gabe's Place. All right, introduce your husband at least. He's sitting between us.
My husband, his name is Haralabos.
Uh-huh.
It goes by Bobby.
I was going to say, he says, call me Bobby.
Every
he says, call me Bobby. He looks like he's pretty pleased with the business, too.
Well, he's been a great help.
I'm going to make way for Bill and Wendy here, and I'm going to go with the patty melt, I think. Good choice?
Our burgers are great. Patty melt's awesome.
Thanks, Maria. Yeah. Thanks for welcoming us today.
Thank you so much.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.